from the freshly sanitized studios, I bring you a finer mid-morning coffee break with Adam and the professor. Adam is I, and the professor is my partner in crime, brother in broadcasting, master of the microphone, Dr. Ronald Feynman from his domicile in southeastern Florida. Ron, it's I don't know what to say. Every week I say, well, last week was completely crazy, record-breaking in terms of quantity and shock value of the news. I think we've broken another record. I don't know what else to say. For one thing,
thank you for inviting me again.
Well, it's my pleasure. Always interesting conversation. You know, we agree on some things, don't agree on others, and we just discuss presidential history, as you're the official presidentologist of this station. Word, of course, that I have coined. But it seems like the only issue right now is the coronavirus, and I think our opinions may have diverged a bit since the last couple times. We've kind of agreed, yes, it exists. There are people, including friends of mine, who think that it's all made up by the media. I don't agree with that. I don't want anybody to think that that's how I feel, but I do feel it's been greatly exaggerated and caused panic, and that can be very detrimental. I have we've been through some policy changes here in the Great Buckeye State. The casinos are closed.
Yes, your governor is really cracking down hard. I must say that.
And he has certainly caused panic by doing things that are unnecessary. Suddenly, the magic number of 100, if there's more than 100 people in close proximity, that can't happen anymore. And I first kind of wonder if it's even legal to do that. You've talked about martial law and Donald Trump being a dictator, a fascist, doing things that are beyond the usual authority. But isn't the governor kind of doing the same thing? Now, I agree there is a problem, but he's inducing panic and over-dramatizing. This illness, yes, it's very serious, but it's a flu.
Well, he claims 100,000 people, I think he said, he believes have it in Ohio.
It's a flu
type of
illness.
That's alarming.
And, yes, the mortality rate is relatively high. It's still very small, but one death is too many. But inducing panic, I'm not sure that that's really going to help. And also, I mean, jokes aside, people didn't use toilet paper, didn't wash their hands, didn't sanitize surfaces before this. That I don't understand at all. Ever since my mommy and daddy told me how to wash my hands, I've been doing it. I would say I'm actually a bit obsessed with hand washing and sanitation. That was a bit of a premise of Seinfeld, that Jerry Seinfeld was just kind of clean to a bit of a neurotic extent. And I see some of myself in that, but me and Jerry Seinfeld are kind of similar in our presentation, our sense of humor. That doesn't really surprise me. Interestingly, as you may know, Ron, Donald Trump was known as a bit of a germaphobe.
Yes, he is.
One reason why he doesn't like dogs, I think, is he feels dogs are dirty. Well, not necessarily, but understand they carry germs, but all members of the animal kingdom, including humans, do. Yeah, we kind of wonder about his complacency, or maybe he doesn't feel we need to over-dramatize. That's all obviously a topic of debate. So a lot of ironies here. But I would say, Ron, you have kind of stepped up your opinion of how serious you think the coronavirus problem is since we talked last time. I think you would agree with me that it has been over-dramatized and caused panic that's unnecessary. But I think you're moving a little bit further than I am in terms of exactly the seriousness of the whole.
Well, I think it's very because most of these senior citizens are affected because of pre-existing medical conditions, which many seniors have. And my own son, David, has, you know, told me to stop going out except to get some food and stay home because he's worried about me because I had heart surgery back in 2005. I'm fine since, but I do take medication. So it is the kind of thing where it makes you think about it. So I'm staying home. I'm not teaching. The university has ended this semester. It looks like at least a few weeks, and I'm typing notes to students instead, furiously. So, but I do think that, I don't know, I think maybe the Ohio governor may have gone a little too far, but in Italy, they shut down the whole country. And I think that's interesting, but apparently I think that the spreading of the virus has diminished a bit because of it. So I don't know what to say. I do think it's overkill, but I don't think you can ever under-dramatize something, because if the media did not report everything that they did, and then things got worse, then they'd be blamed for not having done it. So you can't win with the media. Either you're over-dramatizing or you're under. But either way, they have to do their job.
It's a price we pay for free speech, and also this immediate gratification of news, the finding out immediately instead of waiting for the paper to be published or the 7 o'clock news to come on. So just a change
in media, too. Social media is detrimental at this time.
Change in the logistics and the food chain of sorts, with modern technology being at the forefront of everything that goes on in the great world that we live in. But in terms of more vulnerable people, I don't think of you as being your actual age, Ron. Yes, you had heart surgery. It was a major operation, but you've recovered great.
59 years old I was.
Yeah, and likely in the best health you've been, I would think, probably since 10 or 20 years before the surgery, because you had a problem that built up, and your surgery saved your life and gave you a much higher quality life. Age is a number.
It was a total shock. I was never sick. Suddenly I had chest pains, and I thought it was indigestion, and they discovered 4 blockages in June 05.
Right.
I was stunned.
But
I remember vividly.
But
in my head, I remember saying to God, "Sorry, you're not taking me at age 59. No way." And I woke up.
right. And again, laughter is the best medicine. So we're not trying to downplay the seriousness of Ron's operation or anything that's going on in the world right now. But got to laugh a little bit. I've been a big believer in that. And especially now, that belief is quite predominant as far as I see it. But as you know, with any disease, it is people that are most vulnerable that have to be most careful. There's always a flu bug going around. I mean, I remember H1N1, SARS, all these diseases. And it also kind of seems like it always happens during an election year. Now, as a presidentologist, Ron, do you see a correlation with why does it always happen during an election year? Would this be thought of as serious if it were not a major election year like it is now?
It just happens to be, but they're going to try to say it's because of Democrats or because of Hillary Clinton or Joe Biden or Barack Obama, which is what, or the media, which he's saying or has said, that's totally reckless and crazy behavior. It has nothing to do with that. It's just coincidence. And it's not always true that a crisis always arises in an election year of this type. This is still very unusual.
I personally believe that the media, which tends to the left, we have a big divisive.
Well, I don't know. There's plenty of Fox News Channel kind of crap, too. I would think that they have a great impact. I don't think it's as liberal as you think,
right.
But it's not certainly all Fox News.
Right. No. It is divisive, yes. The Fox News camp versus the MSNBC.
Knowing everything, Fox News. That's crazy.
CNN, which seems to be getting a little more to the left than what I would have said they were a couple years ago. I believe that they are purposely using this as a tool to discredit Donald Trump. The problem is that it's going to bite them and it's going to make Trump look better, and it's going to cause his reelection. Now, understand, I'm likely voting for Biden. This isn't coming from someone who likes Trump. I'm just stating the way that I think it is. And it is part of a byproduct, an unfortunate byproduct of this immediate gratification that we have, and all this social media, all this tweeting, immediate knowledge of news, not waiting for the paper to be published and put on your doorstep by the paper boy at 6 a.m. in the morning. And it's a price that we pay for that. But do you even slightly agree, Ron, that the media, which again is in all parts of the spectrum, but in general tends to the left, that they are using this as a tool to discredit Donald Trump and get him out of office? Do you agree with me at all, or am I being a little bonkers myself by saying that?
No, I do not think it's anything to do with trying to get Trump out of office. I think Trump, by his own statements and his own misactions, is going to push himself out of office, because he is handling this horribly. As I wrote in my blog, he's not a crisis manager, and he was cutting down, you know, the actual agency as far as for pandemics and other things. He has done a lot of damage by his cutting of science out of the government so much and making many scientists leave. So I don't think that's dramatized. I think it's fact.
So we can agree to disagree, but you see why I might be saying that, because it kind of comes across that way, and we really don't know. This coronavirus is mysterious, and that's where a lot of the panic comes in. I think we can agree. What does it have to do with toilet paper? Why is toilet paper suddenly run out?
And I don't know why people are getting toilet paper. That's just hysteria. That makes no sense. Although maybe people don't carry much toilet paper at a time, and they're figuring if they get sick, they're going to need more. So maybe that's
and
why.
Panic is being induced, I think, by the media. And I think it's all part of that chain. But I don't have all the answers, you know.
Governors and mayors have cracked down. It's not just the Ohio governor. There's been a lot of states of emergencies in many cities and states. So it's not just your governor.
So you would say it is inducing some panic. There is some overdramatization, but you may be a little more to the it's the right thing to do than you were the last couple times we
yes.
talked. And you're kind of saying better safe than sorry.
That's what I would say, because if we had too little protection. But I want to point out something. Somebody wrote on Facebook about Delray Beach near me, Atlantic Avenue, which has lots of clubs and restaurants, and said, you would think there was no crisis out there because they're all full to the brims, everybody's having a good time, and they're all close to each other, and it's mostly, of course, probably young people, and they all think that nothing can happen to them. And that means they got to stay away from their family, their grandparents, and their older parents. But it shows total recklessness. And even when I'm in college at the university, I see the way people act on campus. Really, there's a lot of reckless behavior and irresponsible immaturity that I see. And I think that is a danger. And it's right here on Atlantic Avenue in Delray Beach. Imagine that.
Well, certainly. But understand, you can't just sit there in a cave and nail the door shut. I look at it logically, as I think I know enough about science, more than the average person. But I don't claim to be an expert. Infectious disease, that isn't really my scientific field, but I certainly understand the logistics of it. And I've been through, I think, some similar situations. I think just use basic precautions and understand that in a normally healthy person, this is a serious disease, but it is likely not to be one that's going to cause lingering damage or be fatal. Every day you wake up, as I see it, is a victory. As you probably know, my father recently passed away. My mom has been deceased for almost 30 years. Every day is a victory. You change when your immediate family member passes away. Every day that I wake up is a victory. And I would say I probably have changed my view a bit because of the recent death of a close family member that I see. Well, you can't just sit there living in a cave. Every day you get older. Every day you wake up is a victory. Stay healthy. You know, I go to the gym and I enjoy it more. Let's hope my gym stays open. They are open as far as I know, because whether gyms should close is another matter based upon the governor's directive. But
well, all the theaters around here, are being closed, and a lot of things are being closed. And honestly, I think these young people who go to these clubs and have a wild time and all that, I think they need to grow up and realize, how about cutting back on this at a time like this? Your life can go on without it. But I don't think they're going to listen. That's because they're young and stupid.
Many sides of it. Yeah. Now, I try to be logical, but every day really is an adventure. I mean, Ron, you have 20 years on me. And, you know, both of us, we don't look or seem as old as we are, which is nice. Age is only a number, just kind of a high number in both of our cases. I mean,
yes.
We don't want to underscore, I don't know any better way to say, tragic events that have occurred in our lifetime, and I'm referring to 9/11, for example, but there are many others.
I think it's far worse than 9/11, by the way, because that's a one-day event. It did kill 3,000 people, but I think that this is much more serious than 9/11.
And again, as a computer guy, I certainly was in the center of this because my clients were calling me all the time about it, Y2K. Which I knew would have been overdramatized, although I did think something could occur because computers can go crazy when a date changes as much as it did. Honestly, even I overestimated it. But yeah, I err on the side of caution, but don't be ridiculous about it. Look at it with all of your brain cells, if possible. But in your life, Ron, have you seen anything that would be as big of a news story as everything that's happened in your life? And we're talking about the Vietnam War. Nixon resigning, again, 9/11, Y2K, H1N1, and other serious infectious diseases. Have you seen anything? Is this the biggest news story in your 75 years? Have you ever seen anything as big? Has anything even come close?
Well, I mean, polio epidemic when I was young, but I was too young to remember it. It was very severe in the early 1950s until Dr. Jonas Salk came up with a vaccine. But I was very young, so I don't have to, you know, I vaguely know about it. Other than that, yes, these different events, like even hurricanes we've had, serious ones, have been bad, but they are only a few days. They do heavy damage, and it's over. But this is an ongoing thing that's going to last longer than any other event, including like September 11th.
Yeah,
so,
the mystery
September 11th
it.
That led to September 13th and 15th and 17th, God forbid, I remembered worrying about it. Then it would be, oh, my God. But it was something that was horrible, but it ended. But in this case, this is an ongoing tragedy.
Right. And the mystery.
And all the experts, including Dr. Anthony Fauci, that we haven't reached a peak anywhere near it. And some say it's going to be from April to August. And that means, oh, my God, 4, 5, 6 months, no schools, no nothing. I mean, this is quite severe.
We don't know what's going to happen, and that's part of it. It is the mystery.
Yes.
And I can't tell you, but I do feel that the seriousness of the disease is being overdramatized. It is a flu type of condition. And again, my degree is in chemistry, not in medicine. Maybe I'm totally out of left field.
That's right. They expect them flu. That's what they say. But, you know, yeah.
Take basic precautions. And, you know, jokes aside, nobody washed their hands before. Nobody used toilet paper. Nobody disinfected surfaces. That's kind of scary. And we're seeing.
Well, I always tell you, when I've gone out to restaurants and I'm in the men's room going to the bathroom, I see people coming out of the toilet area and they walk out without washing and using soap, some of them, and I'm, what the hell is wrong with you?
Right. Even staff
there are
members,
people
yeah,
who don't
I
do it,
don't,
you know?
Don't understand. And I mean, let's not also forget there are other diseases running around. We still have the flu. It's a change of seasons. And this is when infectious type diseases tend to be most prevalent. Not to mention
yeah,
all
also, what about food preparers? If they sneeze while they're preparing your food, you're not seeing that, but how do you know they're not?
Right, you don't. Now, understand, a normally healthy person has an immune system, and the immune system is boosted a bit by being exposed to these viruses and bacteria. But this is an unknown kind of a condition. We really don't know. And yes, better safe than sorry, but there is a limit to it. And I do feel that directives from DeWine and other politicians have gone beyond their authority. I mean, we talk about Donald Trump. You know, Ron, you said you think he's a fascist, a dictator, etc. I mean, we can agree to disagree on that.
Want to be anyway? We have to prevent it from happening.
But what is DeWine doing? And are we being too cautious and causing panic?
Well,
is never a good thing.
Richard Cordray, who you liked, had ended up. And he's a liberal, had become the governor. Do you think he would have done the same thing is a good question. It's hard to know. But have you thought about that, whether Cordray might have done the same thing, or would he have not?
I would like to think that Cordray wouldn't, but no, I don't know. I haven't heard much from him. I think a lot of these people don't really want to talk about it because it's become so controversial, it's become so political. I don't know. But
I do think the governor doing it, while it's controversial, it's a profile in courage that he's taking a strong action rather than sitting back and not doing anything. And then he'll be blamed. Why didn't you do this? If yeah. It gets worse. I think it's a precaution against what could come.
It's going to cause more people to dislike him than like him. I never liked the guy to begin with, but he's in. I mean,
I don't like him as a person either. But I think that he's trying to protect the idea that he's doing whatever he thinks is necessary to prevent worse things from happening. That's what I think is his is the way he looks at it.
Well, I mean, one thing we do know, Ron, is with all the changes in the goings on, the minute we finish talking, this show becomes out of date. And that's always the case when you talk about events, but pretty much since the clock turned over into 2020, that's been the case between the election, this emerging coronavirus story, and a few other things that are going around. We are doing this show.
Kim Jong-un is doing nuclear testing while this is going on, and it's crossed my mind. My God, what if he decided this is an opportunity? I'm going to attack Seattle or Los Angeles with a missile right in the middle of this crisis. God forbid. Maybe
that's something to keep in mind. Yeah, yes, and that's a pretty scary thought.
I mean, 9/11. Imagine 9/11 and also a virus. That's right. What we're talking about.
We need that's why I say prioritize and just decide. Yes, it's important, but other things going on right now, folks. With the current state of the world right now, again, the minute we stop talking, Ron, this show becomes out of date. Now, we are doing our little chit-chat the day before the initial airtime of this show, which is Sunday, the 15th of March, and a little bit before the debate.
The Ides of March.
Right. The debate between Mr. Biden and Mr. Sanders. First, let's get my obligatory joke out of the way, because laughter is the best medicine. You said, Ron, the debate takes place between 8 and 10 p.m. Eastern time, right?
I know what you're going to say.
Isn't it too late for those two guys to be up? Yes, they're both in their late 70s, and they really should be in Betty Bye time by then. But
yeah, I am very worried. If Joe Biden does not perform and look well against Sanders, oh, my God, is the country in trouble? Because he's likely to win the primaries on Tuesday in Ohio, Illinois, Arizona, and Florida and be the nominee. But if he looks really weak against Sanders and Sanders looks strong, it's going to be a real disaster. So I'm very worried about it. I just hope he's at his best and hopefully better than Sanders. But it will be interesting to see just the two of them for 2 hours, which is a real test of endurance because there's nobody else in intervening other candidates. So it's going to be something to watch tonight.
Biden has become a bit of the comeback kid. Well, kid, using using it colloquially. But yes, if he goes back to the...
People tell me dementia. And I said, so does Trump. And Trump is dangerous. I don't think Joe is dangerous. It's a big difference. But I mean, these people drive me crazy saying he's demented. He shouldn't be running. Ugh.
But if he goes back to seemingly absent-minded, apathetic... and showing possible signs
of
mental decline, what are we going to do? And then Sanders becomes a possible front runner, and that's going to cause issues
and
with...
he's very alert at this point, although he's a year and 2 months older, but he seems mentally sharp at this point.
And that's going to cause issues with independents like myself, and I tell you right now, I am not voting for Bernie Sanders. I'm not going to abstain or write someone
about
in.
The far left are people like, you might know she used to be on MSNBC, Crystal Ball. Do you know who she is? K-R-Y-S-T-A-L. She has said, we don't have a responsibility to vote for Joe. So I'm saying to people, so instead you're going to vote for Trump? Just because it's Joe? It's really, these are the kind of people that harmed Hillary Clinton last time. The people on the left that say, our way or the highway. And it's ridiculous.
Right. Well,
but there's some people I'm talking to on Facebook who are saying that. It's very scary.
I'm not voting for Sanders, let me put it that way. And a vote for an independent third-party candidate or write-in, that's a vote for Trump. So fill in the blanks,
like
my friends.
I know what Gary Johnson type. You're right. Yeah.
But we do have an issue, and I brought this up to you. I'm kind of seeing the John Kerry problem, whereas the Democratic candidate seems likable, but he is weak. Just a weak candidate, not someone who really knocks your socks off. I think in some ways Hillary was a sock knocker. I mean, she is a female. She was well known, just a bit controversial. And I think the election also went a little more toward Trump than was expected, probably due to voter turnout problems. Do you agree at all with me, Ron, that Biden is a bit of a weak candidate? We have to pick between the lesser of evils, or at least a candidate that...
Well, I don't think he would have been weak years ago, but I think at his age now, he's not what he was when he debated Paul Ryan in 2012. I thought he did very well. So I am worried about it. I still wish somehow, magically, Pete Buttigieg or Amy Klobuchar could suddenly emerge, but they're not going to. They've already endorsed him, and he's got the votes from the people voting so far in the primaries and caucuses. But I still wish it would have been better to have had someone younger. It really would have been. But the thing is, that's why I'm going to promote the idea that the VP really is important, the right choice, because basically, even with Trump, he may not last a second term. So we're either going to get Mike Pence or we're going to get the Democratic VP choice. We have to think of this as not just voting for president, you're voting for the person to inherit the office during the term.
Now, if Joe Biden wins, Ron, he will celebrate his 80th birthday in the Oval Office. And again, age is just a number.
Be after 8 months. Yeah.
You look at Joe Biden, he's in good shape, He seems
he's
physically...
He's a handsome-looking dude. He really is. He looks good.
Seems fine, but mentally you really don't know. And again, I didn't go to medical school, but again, I wasn't born yesterday. I think even his strongest supporters would agree, yes, he's not quite what he was, but that's okay. He's in his late 70s. He has gained wisdom. And even if you lose some mental capacity with advancing age, and this, Ron, as a professor, you gain so much wisdom. Honestly, the wisdom is probably more valuable. So that hardly concerns me. I think Reagan kind of the same way. I mean, a bit of a different type of person, but he had a lot of wisdom going into office and didn't lose his sharp sense of humor, I'll tell you that much. But
but the thing I'm pointing out, and I've written about this, is that three presidents really should have left. Woodrow Wilson, when he had a stroke, but he refused. FDR, in the third term, was starting to deteriorate, but chose to run for a fourth term. Luckily, he made it. Truman became his VP, but that was reckless. And Reagan in 87 was showing signs of dementia. He probably should have let H.W. Bush come in. So, and I don't think Trump would ever leave, even if he really became demented. But I think Joe Biden would give it up. I think his wife would tell him give it up at some point in the middle of the term to the vice president if he really could not handle the job.
Yeah, that's my question. We are talking with Dr. Ron Fineman on a fine-er mid-morning coffee break. Politics and other stuff here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. Adam Lepp here. I'm your host. Host with the most. But yes, one thing about Joe Biden, he is humble. And Donald Trump, not really a very humble kind of a dude is he? And I think we can agree
no,
on that
not.
One. And Joe
and
Biden,
I
think, is man enough.
Being demented if Joe is dangerous. I think Trump is very dangerous, unfortunately, because of his loose mouth. Trump, now it's true, Biden may have a loose mouth, but in silly things, but he's not going to act like Trump does on Twitter, nothing like that.
But we do agree that Biden is honorable and humble, and if he feels that his mental capacity has diminished and that he really does have Alzheimer's, that has progressed from early stages to more serious condition, he would resign. And again, the vice president.
I would hope he would. My gosh,
being a
if
very
not,
important.
The 25th Amendment acting president would come into play if need be. That could also happen with Trump with Pence. You know, I think it should really have happened, but not that I like Pence. But at least Pence is more sane than he is.
But I would say
he has dementia. You know.
You know, Joe, if you're listening, please make a good choice for vice president. If you pick Kamala Harris, you're going to give me a difficult decision because I believe she's a serious threat to national security. Pete Buttigieg, I don't really trust him, but I can live with him. There are some cool aspects of him that I like. Coolness. Coolness is just a unique quality, which makes a president an interesting character. With Pete, well, he's in his 30s. He's gay and married to a man. Bill Clinton.
Who is?
Bill Clinton played the saxophone, which I think is cool. George W. Bush was an owner of the Texas Rangers, and, you know, Ron and I both big baseball fans.
And he also
fans,
is an artist. Quite a painter, actually.
Yeah, he's a very talented artist. So the cool aspect, the charisma of the president, that is important. I'm not going to deny it, just like the president's good looking. Doesn't have to be good looking in that voluptuous way, but presents him or herself well. Those are important because this person is the spokesperson, the head of state, head of government for the entire free world.
Well, I think Biden looks a lot better than Donald Trump. I don't think there's any comparison in appearance.
So that coolness aspect is important, and that gives Pete Buttigieg points, even though there are things about him I really don't trust. But I think good outweighs the bad, and I think he's smart enough he can get through any crisis. We'd both be kind of curious how he'd be handling the coronavirus issue if he were president.
I've read the betting is on Amy Klobuchar. That would be the choice, is the thought. We'll have to see, you know.
Well, Klobuchar, I would be very happy with. Now, politically, she's very similar to Biden. Do you want someone who's to the left of Biden, like Warren? Or do you want someone who's maybe a little bit to the right? I would say Klobuchar might be a little bit to the right.
You don't want two people in their 70s. I don't think it'd be, even if you wanted to have her, she's past 70. She'd be older than Trump when he came in, so I don't think Warren would be good. But Amy's good. The one thing is Amy is a woman, but by being a white woman, it's not as extreme for people who get upset with change. If you had a minority woman, it would probably be worse for those people who don't like too much change. So at least it's a white woman. You know what I'm saying?
As we've talked about, one minority at a time. Again, I say it every time, every show, women are not a minority. They're actually a majority, but I'm saying minority with respect to what demographic have we had for president before. Now, Pete is kind of two. I would say being in his 30s also counts. Being gay counts. I would put the being married to a man kind of with the gay because they are a little bit different because one thing is, okay, this is how I am. One thing is we would have a first gentleman instead of a first lady, even though we would have a male president. But I can kind of put those two together. So Pete has two of these minority demographics. Amy Klobuchar has one. She's 60, so that's a good age for a president. And of course, you know, might
Kamala Harris has three: woman, African American, and Asian American. But maybe it's too much. He could argue.
And again, she is quite a bit to the left, which may or may not be good. As I see it, a lot of the Bernie bots, as they're called, they're not going to vote for Biden anyway. So putting in someone who's very liberal, that isn't going to help because they're still not going to vote for that person. So we might as well put in a moderate that someone like Ron and myself would like. As you know, I'm.
Yeah, well, I've seen people saying that maybe Hillary Clinton would be the running mate. I said, that's crazy. It's not, she's not going to be the running mate.
I'd love to see Hillary Clinton.
That's both in their 70s.
Yeah, I'm not sure that would happen, but that would be wonderful. Bill Clinton for a second lady. There you go. But I'm not sure that would happen.
Well, he would have been. Would have been first gentleman if his wife had run. But also, those who say Michelle Obama might agree. I don't see that happening for vice president. No, I really don't.
I wouldn't. Michelle Obama, I wouldn't. Not a big fan of hers. I probably could live with her as being vice president, but it wouldn't be someone I would be overly enthused about. Klobuchar.
Remember, the vice president may be president number 47 in the term. Right. That's the whole point. That's what we have to always keep in mind. But, actually, with Amy being called a B-I-T-C-H by some, maybe that's good. She shows she's tough, that nobody's going to push her around. Maybe that's a good image, actually, if you think about it.
And, I mean, again, it could be a good omen. We had a very moderate Democratic VP from Minnesota, Mr. Mondale, and someone that Ron and I both very enamored with, and he won. So,
and Hubert Humphrey was vice president also. So we have Minnesotans in the Democratic Party.
So maybe
that
we can have,
president.
The third Minnesotan, and this time have a female.
Yes.
What do you
Shall we endorse her completely for Joe?
What do you think the chances are, Ron? Now, I've said that Pete dropped out early, very surprisingly.
I think she's the leading candidate.
Because you and I both know that Joe promised him the vice presidency. Is that maybe a little too much looking into the future, or could that really be what happened?
Yeah, that Joe promised who?
But Pete Buttigieg, that he dropped out so early because Joe promised him the vice presidency.
I don't think he ever made that. He just made a comment comparing him to his son, Bo, that he'll be an important figure. I didn't hear that he ever promised him to be vice president. I think he might make him a cabinet member. Where did you hear that he was going to make him vice president?
Saying, that's what I thought when I heard that, and you and I were talking about it a bit. That's all I'm saying. But
well, he likes him, and he compares him to his son, Bo, and I think he wants him in his administration. And honestly, Pete needs a job. He's not the mayor anymore.
Yeah, that is interesting. Yeah,
he does need a job, but I think he would be in the administration. But I don't think he would necessarily be vice president. That might be a little too much at that point because of the issue of being very young, half his age, and gay, and having a husband. Although if he'd been a candidate for president, that would have been by voters' choices. But I still think Amy probably fits the bill best.
But interestingly, Pete is late 30s. I mean, very smart, very employable, but he's unemployed right now. And suddenly, Chasten, as a teacher, he's the breadwinner of the family. Isn't that kind of interesting?
And that sounds funny, yes.
That's politics.
And in other words, you know, he's not a millionaire, as he said. The only one who isn't that was running.
Yeah, well,
because he's too young to be a millionaire in most cases. You know, all the others are much older, so they've gained assets, but he doesn't have it. You know,
other than one of your favorite people, Mr. Zuckerberg, who's a little bit younger than Pete. Well, he's a multi-trillionaire. But I will say that in the last few days, he has lost some of that wealth as the topsy-turvy roller coaster called the U.S. economy and the stock market. I've just been.
Oh my God! 20% drop, I think, since the high 3 weeks ago, something like that. And I must say, I'm not shedding any crocodile tears for Mark Zuckerberg. He is, in my mind, he's too wealthy for his age, you know.
But last Friday, it went up just like 9.99%.
And he bragged about it, signing his name to a Twitter feed, Trump, after the big disaster. He's making a big deal out of a one-day growth. All he thinks about is the damn stock market, not about how people are being hurt, infected by this. It's just amazing.
Donald Trump, he's something else, and seems like he is the center of our show every time. Interestingly, I thought we would be arguing a bit about a few things, Ron. We really haven't done too much. We don't agree upon the dramatization level of the coronavirus or how serious it might be, but I think we're both kind of in the same ballpark.
Yes.
And I know your son
No ballparks, no more baseball.
I know your son made some posts that
training in Florida would stop, so we didn't have the games down here either, you know?
Yeah, that is. Your son, David, just made social media posts that it really is very serious, and just unfriend him, et cetera, if you don't agree, et cetera. But that's okay. You know, we're all intelligent. We can agree to disagree. Again, I'm not saying it's been made up. I'm not saying it's been fabricated. I'm saying it's been over-dramatized, and the media is inducing panic. But I do agree that they are trying to discredit Trump, and I think it's going to bite them you know where because it's having the opposite effect. And as someone who's probably going to vote for Biden, that aggravates me. But again, we shall see.
Well, I think the people going to vote for Trump are going to vote for him no matter what he says or does, even if he shot someone at Fifth Avenue. I don't think he's gaining support among those who were against him or did not vote. I really don't think so. I think the Democrats still have the edge. But he has to do well. If he looks bad against Bernie, even if he's a nominee, that's going to really harm him. That's what scares me. Tonight is crucial because this is one time everybody's going to look at him for 2 hours against Bernie, and if Bernie looks better at the end, whether you like Bernie or not, oh, my God, are we in trouble, you know?
That'll be another piece in this crazy puzzle called life and
hopefully Bernie
politics.
Will really mess up tonight, but he doesn't seem to be doing it at this point. He's very sharp, and he's older by a year and 2 months. So we have to hope that he doesn't do well, but he might look good and make Joe look like he's a failure. I just hope not, you know.
And again, boys and girls, we are broadcasting this show multiple times, but we are taping it, yes, with our 8-track tape recorder, on Sunday the 15th as we await this evening's debate. Now, Ron publishes a blog called TheProgressiveProfessor.com, which we encourage you to read. He calls
and
it.
And also on HistoryNewsNetwork.org under my name, Ronald L. Feynman, on the blog, yes.
He calls it an educated view from the left. He's also published a book, which I'm currently perusing, about presidential assassinations. Now, I would like to say it's available at your local library in some cases, like it is here. However, here in the Columbus area, the local libraries have been closed. So you can order it from Barnes & Noble or Amazon.
Libraries here, yes.
But unfortunately, you can't get it from the library. Let's hope that that will change sometime soon because it's a very good publication that I encourage you to read. And if you're a good boy or girl, you can go visit Ron, I guess at his house, because he's not teaching on site. He'll even sign it for you if you're in the South Florida area. But for now, yeah, Ron is doing his teaching remotely. Let's before we run out of time, as we always do, and we haven't really discussed your blog yet, but I'll get to that. You are teaching your classes, Ron, remotely, teaching them online.
Yes.
You probably haven't done too much of that. As I know, you're a hands-on person. You like to go in front of the class and talk to your students.
Right now, I'm typing class notes at this point on Harding, Coolidge, Hoover, FDR, Truman, and Eisenhower. I'm sending it out by the end of the day. And then in the next week, I'm going to cover up to Clinton because I think this whole semester's gone and I'm going to have to do a third round for after 2000 and about the office itself. And it's a lot of typing, but, you know, and formulating how to type things, but it's interesting. It's fun, and I'll keep a copy of these notes for the future. It'll make it easier for me to teach it.
So are you basically liking the online teaching? You probably haven't done too much of it. Is it? Do you think it's as effective?
No, I have not done much, but when I tell them to contact me, they haven't yet because it just happened. They'll contact me, and we could discuss things on, you know, back and forth on email if need be, yes.
Is it as effective as the face-to-face? I think.
I don't know, but honestly, a certain percentage of students tend to not show up in any class. This way, they may not all look at it, but they really have to look at it. I think there'll probably be some people will get better because some people are not good at taking notes. This way, everything is presented to them. So as long as they read and study it, they probably would be better informed than those who don't show up or those who are not good at note-taking. So, you know, although I allow taping also in the class, but I'm sure some people benefit from this and others would prefer to be in class. I'd prefer to be in class, but it's the way it is. So you have to roll with the punches, as they say.
I just think the way you are, especially someone who talks, you know, it's okay to disagree with you. You're not going to call them stupid, et cetera. It's okay to have a debate.
My thinking.
Yeah. You like to have that
say it.
Personal interaction, but
yes.
Never hurts to try a few good new things. Before we close out today's radio extravaganza, that is our program, we'll just talk about Ron's blog from the 15th of March. As America goes into panic mode tonight, is the Joe Biden-Bernie Sanders debacle, debacle. In this case, it's pretty much the same thing.
Yeah.
Even without the extremist Bernie supporters who act like children, not adults, we agree on that one, insisting on what they want despite the vote of those who engaged in the primaries, Joe Biden seems to have gained independent, moderate Republican, suburbanites, white working-class men, women, African-Americans, and Latino support that can overcome the prima donnas who are ready to destroy the ship if they cannot get what they want. So,
you like that, huh?
No question. Well, another one of your great run-on sentences, but I enjoy them because I like to write big sentences also. It's obviously a sign of high intellect. But we certainly can agree that it's important that Joe Biden be alert, that this sleepy Joe, this I'm Joe Biden, I forgot this message joke that's been going around, which I've been sharing, as you know, that be put to rest, that we see the alert Joe Biden that we saw during the Obama presidency when he was VP and during as many years as a congressman
we've ever had, next to Walter Mondale. I think him and Mondale were the two best VPs we've had as far as activism.
So the top priority for Mr. Biden will be to be alert, to answer the questions, and come across as someone who can be presidential and can lead this country in times of trouble, like we have now, and in good times, and be humble. We know Joe is a humble guy. We see that quality in him, which is important. We don't see it in Donald Trump. And he wants to make sure that that quality also shines through, but also show that he can be a powerful leader and not always be too nice, because being too nice doesn't always get the job done. You close out that blog, Ron. So the real choice this time is our Democratic VP successor or Mike Pence, and that should be a no-brainer. As well.
But what do you think about what he did when he said that word, S-H-I-T, head, to somebody who challenged him, Joe Biden? Do you think that was appropriate or not?
I think it's okay to say what's on your mind. And if somebody is taunting you and acting his or her age, not his or her shoe size, that's fine.
Yeah.
We certainly know that our beloved President Donald has said a few things like that.
Yes, more than once.
And so, you know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. Well, Ron, thank you again for being on a finer mid-morning coffee break with Adam and the Professor. Another great show. You know, I really thought we would argue a lot more about...
I'm sorry I disappointed you.
No, it's okay. Bottom line is we're all on the same team here. We want to get a problem solved, and we're all sitting here with bated breath wondering what's going to happen in the debate. Not just the debate itself, but the aftermath of it. People talking about it, you know. Bernie, he's too far to the left. Joe Biden doesn't seem alert. Can either of them beat Trump? Who knows? We want to get the medical issue solved. We want to be sure it's not over-dramatized and causing panic. But erring on the side of caution, that's also a smart thing to do. How you balance that, I really don't know. I think the governor is doing a horrible job of balancing it, as I've obviously made clear. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. As I said, I'm just a goofy chemistry major, but I try to look at things logically. What I do know is when we talk again, hopefully in about a week, we will usher in the first couple days of spring and hopefully have some good news from the medical front. The economy is at least trying to recover. And of course, we can tell more jokes and make more predictions about the upcoming presidential races. So before we say goodbye, Ron, any final thoughts for our listening audience?
Well, I just hope that this virus, which seems it's going to get worse, that it gets worse quickly and then gets better. I'm very worried. I don't want this to be escalating and making life difficult for much more than a few weeks as far as everything shutting down. But who knows? We just got to hope for the best, and we all have to be careful and cautious in our behavior.
That's the best I can say. We're all Americans. We're all in this together. Let's solve it, but let's not panic. Let's do it in a logical, intelligent fashion. Adam Lepp here, thanking you for listening on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. Send me an email, you know. I'd love to hear from you. Adam at WWGH1071.com.